Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice. I'd like to say hello on this Sunday afternoon with all of the panelists. A great number of them are here, and I'd like to welcome them and say hello. Hey, guys, how's everybody going?
Hey, how's it going, David?
Well. There we go. There we go. Well, we were not here last week, but since, you know, we've had – it just seems that one of the things that we have talked about so many times, and we keep saying something needs to happen, but we haven't done anything with it within the United States, is gun control. And that seems to be a big issue these days, because the Uvalde, Texas massacre was putting a lot on people to, how would an 18-year-old kid on his birthday go and buy a AR-15 and then go into a school, shoot his grandmother, and then go into a school and kill kids. And I think we as men need to talk about how, not how do we handle it for the world, but how do we handle it for our families? I think that we now have to tell our children things that we've never had to sit down and discuss with them before. For example, in the shootings at the Uvalde school, most of the people that were killed were female students. The bulk of them were female students. So I think the screaming and hollering that little girls do and everything probably got them in trouble. That's just me thinking, coming up with things. But I do think it's time for schools. I think it's time for churches. And I think it's time for us as men to have these conversations with our families. Excuse me. So I would like to you know, put it around the table, because, you know, President Joe Biden issued a fervent appeal Thursday for stricter gun laws, including ban on assault weapons, tougher background check laws, and a higher minimum age for purchasing. But, you know, it's been a while since we have been having this conversation, so I'd like to move around the table. Let me start with Ron. What are your thoughts?
Thank you, David, for calling on me, and glad to be back after, I think it's been a few weeks since I've been missing. But, you know, I don't even know where to start on this. I guess I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And by the way, if you don't know, there were more mass shootings today. I think there was another one in Michigan, another one in Tennessee. And, you know, this is now a national embarrassment. It is disgusting. I mean, I don't even know what other words to describe. There is no reason why anybody, unless they are an active member in the military, needs an AK-47 or an AR-15. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not against the Second Amendment. I'm for owning guns. But there is no reason why my brother needs to have 10 AK-47s, okay?
Wow.
This is crazy. No other country in the world has this problem. We lead the country in mass murders, and we're not willing to do anything about it. And I'm sorry to say, but it's the Republicans that won't budge, and I don't understand why it has to be partisan. Why something like killing kids and killing innocent people, why is it that the Republicans won't budge? Nobody wants to take away the Second Amendment right. But come on, can an 18-year-old just go like that and buy an AR-15? I mean, common sense. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's an embarrassment. You know, I don't even – I mean, it's shameful. It's shameful that after all these massacres, we haven't done anything about it. I hope that finally, this time, something, at least, you know, a little something will be done. But it's that we all know, you know, the NRA is in the pockets of every single Republican in the Senate, so and in Congress, so nothing dramatic is going to happen.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that you brought up, there's, you know, that in 2022 there has been over 20 schools that have had shootings, and just recently more than 30 have been shot, six of them dead in Philadelphia and Tennessee. And the largest, you know, U.S. mass shooting, it seems like gunmen are targeting nightlife places. So, Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Well, also, thank you for calling on me, David. And Ron, there's a number of things I agreed with you with. And that is, I'm also tired and agree with you that we have not done anything. What I'm additionally tired of is this constant discussion or this constant position on the left, because they don't have any answers and they're the ones in control of, oh, it's the firearm. Well, you've heard this over and over again. I agree, before anybody jumps on me, I agree that there's more restrictions, more background checks, things should be done on the end of firearms. But a firearm does not kill. It's in the hands of someone that's either mentally disturbed, upset because of whatever happens on whatever gets this person going, whether it be in Uvalde or as you said, Ron, they're becoming so many now you can't keep track of them. They're all over the country. The gun does not kill on its own. Yes, more regulations. Yes, maybe some more good sense control. But if we do not, if we magically think getting rid of any kind of gun is going to solve the problem, then the left is way out of touch. We need to find out ways to find out why these kids are doing this, because, again, as you said, Ron, I'll agree with you, it's slanted towards youth right now, far and away more in the youth category of these things right. happening than any place else. We have disturbed people in a variety of ways for a variety of reasons, and we're not talking about getting to the heart of the problem. That's it. Whether it's a stronger Bruce. Family unit, whether it's special care with psychiatrists and psychologists, it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, that the left always wants to go to the gun, and I'm not saying the gun isn't part of the solution. It is. But they always want to go to the gun, say, we get rid of the gun, problem solved, wash my hands, on to the next subject. That's all they do. And also Bruce. The Republicans have to be involved in this too, and they're part of the blame, both Republicans and Democrats, left and right, extreme and non-extreme, have to get to what's causing it, and it's not the weapon itself. It's in the hands of someone that is either mentally disturbed or very upset that we have to solve. The gun alone is not going to solve the problem. We could get rid
Bruce,
of all the guns that there are, and we would end up still having some kind of problem with people that are this disturbed. So
okay.
Sorry if I took a little too much time.
Bruce, since you invoked my name, I'm sorry, to David, if I may. Because I'm not disagreeing with you that we have mental issue problems, but that's a Republican talking point. And the fact that
mental issue
problem, you know,
is a Republican talking point. I don't
Bruce,
think so.
Let me speak, please. I let you speak.
That's
a Republican talking point. Okay. Because yes, we do have mental problems, but guess what? Every country in the world has mental problems. But not every country in the world has the gun issues that we do. And by the way, you misspoke when you said that the left always wants to get rid of guns. That's not true. The left wants tighter restrictions, and the left wants to get rid of semi-automatic guns, and I am totally for that. Can you tell me why my brother needs to have 10 AK-47s? Can you answer that?
No, because I never said he should have it. So I can't answer that.
Should he have one? Should he have one AK-47?
he should not have a gun or of any kind, I would think, if he's a person that shouldn't legally have one and have it in a way that's proper and all the
okay,
same
let
gun
me,
rules
let me rephrase
and all this
the
and
question.
That. But
let
getting,
me rephrase
rid of,
the question.
Getting rid of the gun itself is not going to solve the problem.
Let me rephrase the question. He is not mentally ill, and he legally owns the AK-47s. Should he be able to own an AK-47 and an AR-15?
I don't know enough about those guns to say yes or no. A gun, we have legal constitutional laws to have weapons. There are certain ones we should not have. I agree with that.
But it's not an absolute right.
And certain ones we should be allowed to have. But again, taking away a particular gun, and there is no such thing as a gun of whatever you always want to call it, a mass destruction gun or whatever you call it. A gun is a gun. A gun can kill if it's in the wrong hand. Any gun can kill almost in the wrong hand.
But you can't use those guns for hunting like some people claim. There's no way you can use them for hunting. So the only reason to have them is to shoot a bunch of people in a few seconds. That's the only reason to have them.
Well, couldn't you say that of any gun that shoots more than one bullet? You said no semi-automatic guns either. Well, even a gun that isn't semi-automatic where you can pull the trigger as fast as you can, that's in essence a semi-automatic gun. So you're going to outlaw all of that too? That's every gun, almost every gun in existence.
Maybe we should let some of the other panelists talk.
Yeah, because I know what the answer will be.
All right. Why don't we jump in with Don?
You know, David, thanks for calling on me. And, you know, I'm tired of politicizing, making this a political issue. This is not a political issue. This is a human issue. Why do we need guns with that type of ability to kill people in mass destruction? You know, when the Second Amendment was written, we had muskets. We didn't have these automatic guns that we have that we're debating on right now. I mean, the AR-15 wasn't even into effect. And another thing, too, all we're doing is kicking the ball down the road. We need to deal with this. Children are getting killed. People are getting killed. We're the laughing stock of the universe. Payroll. The NRA has bought people. It's like a gangster. The NRA is a gangster buying people, buying political candidates that we elect. We need to get rid of all of them. We need to find out who's on the payroll for the NRA. Who's getting money? Who's getting paid? They're so bought off, they can't even make a real decision. Maybe if it would affect their children or their grandkids, if they got killed, maybe, just maybe, it may have an effect. And then we need to have background checks. I mean, listen, we got a mental issue in this country. And like Ron said, we got a mental issue in a lot of countries. We emptied out our sane asylums, our mental institutions. We did that 10 years ago. We should have never did it. We should have treated these people. And then here's another thing, too. Background checks. Before you can buy a gun, you need to have a background check. You need to have a background check. And then you need to be of age. I don't see why an 18-year-old person could go into a store and buy a gun to kill people like that when you have to have 21 on a lot of other issues. Listen, we got to do something. Let's do something now. I'm done. I'm tired of this.
Couldn't agree with you more, Don, on the things that you talked about. And a lot of what you touched about is the mental issues, the gun and the mental issues that go along with the people that are carrying that gun. Absolutely.
All right, Darius, what are your thoughts?
I'm perplexed, man, at the disillusioned people in our society that believes that one more law could have prevented what happened. He already broke several laws. After Sandy Hook, they passed a gun-free school zone law. Why didn't that stop the killer? Why didn't he just stop there? The very essence of a criminal is someone who has no respect of the law. And you guys think that, oh, yeah, if we just put one more law in place, oh, yeah, he can't use this gun, but he can use that gun, that will a maniac or an evil person. And I thought Don was going to say what he always said, because I thought about him when this happened. What we have here is not
a heart condition.
It's a heart condition. Thank you, brother. This
yes,
is
sir.
What happened. So what happens is, in America now, we want to take God out of everything. If you bring up God in school, if you bring up God in putting together any kind of laws, if you try to form a Bible study group, if you try to pray before a football or a basketball game, they run out and they say, no, you can't talk about God. You can't talk about God. Well, this is what a godless society looks like. It has nothing to do with the gun. Just like it doesn't have anything to do if someone drinks and get in their car and runs down and kills, you know, people. Just like that guy who ran his van through the parade. You don't, when murder happens, it's the only crime that they actually blame the instrument instead of the person. It's stupid. Nobody said when we had 3,000 people die from an aircraft crashing into the World Trade Centers, nobody said, oh, we got to ban jumbo jets from flying. Nobody says that. When you get killed by people, got stabbed by knives, nobody came and said, oh, yeah, we got to get rid of the knives. We got to get rid of the cars. We got to get rid of the alcohol because people drink and drive. It's ridiculous. It's people. It's a godless society. It's pure evil. And the only way you can prevent that is the things that Democrats don't want to talk about, and that's hardening schools. You have to have armed people. And I know it's cliche, but the only person that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And if you're not willing to add the same protections at a school as you do at the airports, as you do at the courthouses, as you do in the Senate and the House of Representatives, if you're not willing to do that, then you're not really taking this serious. Chicago, who has the strictest gun laws in the country, and California, okay, 50 people got shot the same weekend after this shooting in Texas. 50 people. 50. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's even upset. I didn't even see it on – I didn't even hear anybody discussing it on any of the panelists, because that topic right there is not something we want to discuss, because they know that the reason for this happening is not the laws. It has nothing to do with laws. Those people that got killed in the subway in New York. New York has a restriction on you bringing your guns out. You can't carry guns in New York unless you have a permit, which is very, very difficult to get. But it didn't stop those people from getting shot in the subway. So, guys, wake up. Stop this, oh, yeah, we got to get rid of the guns. It has nothing to do with it. And, Ron, I don't care if your brother has 50 guns. It's legal. Your brother is not the one that's going to run into a schoolhouse and kill people. Your brother is not the one that's going to go downtown and start mowing down people at an office building. It's going to be someone sick and deranged. But what we're going to do is we're going to punish the law-abiding people, the people who just want to protect themselves, or the people who just want to be collectors, or the people who just want to use them for sport. You're going to punish those people and let the criminals run free. So now the honest people, the law-abiding citizens, we're going to be unarmed, and the criminals are going to be the only ones with the guns. Because, Ron, don't think for a second, if you pass whatever laws you're thinking about, that these idiots, these gang members, the Crips, the Bloods, the robbers, the crooks, they're going to come run up to the police station and turn in their guns. Do you think for one second they're going to say, oh, we can't shoot anybody anymore, so let's turn in the guns, or we can't have these AKs, so I guess I need to turn mine in? They're not going to turn them in, guys. You're delusional. You got to harden the schools. That's the only answer.
All right. Let me get some comments from Spencer. What are your thoughts?
Hey, I just got on the show. Can you, what's the question, like, as far as, what's the question you got?
I think you're
we got a lot of interference.
Got a lot of static wait, we'll come back. Wait a minute. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts? Jeremiah, where
hey,
are
David,
you?
Yeah. I completely agree with him. I think it's hard. Well, Don said that. Darius said that. It's the hardest.
Can we got horrible static on here? Somebody's phone sounds horrible.
I think I'm good. Don and Darius are very correct as far as being a hard issue. It's not a weapon issue. We can pass laws to make it a little harder, but that's still not, it's not going to tell us if it's not going to happen or not, or you know, it won't happen anymore. So we need to attack the source of the problem, which is mental health, which is people's hearts and minds, stuff like that.
All right. Okay, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Okay, thanks for calling on me, David. All right, here we go. First of all, the Republicans, you guys, you kill me by wanting to point to everything other than the actual problem. Okay, the problem is the AK-47 and these assault rifles that we sell. As it was said by someone on the panel, when the Second Amendment, and I support the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, but when the Second Amendment was written, we had bayonets, okay? That's what they were referring to. They were not referring to AK-47s. That's not what they were referring to. And my friend Darius, you love the Constitution. You're a constitutional guy. The Constitution says we separate church and state. So for you to bring God into this and say God is the reason, there's not enough God, if we had more God, then that's what stopped, it's just asinine. It makes no sense. And Bruce, my friend, for you to say that the problem is mental health and guns don't kill, I'm sorry, but we're talking about little kids that got killed, so the gloves are off, Bruce, and every other Republican that says that, that's the dumbest shit ever, okay? It just is. The AK-47 is what kills. If that guy had not had an AK-47 when he walked into that school, he couldn't have killed all those little children so quick and so fast. If he would have walked in there with a sledgehammer or a knife, or even a .38 special, he could not have slaughtered as many people as he slaughtered. The problem is the guns, and you Republicans don't want to address the guns. It's because you're all, excuse my language, you're all bitches to the NRA. That's what you guys are, okay? Once again, we're talking about dead kids, so excuse my language, okay? The NRA has all you guys in panties. They really do. The NRA controls you. Okay, the fact that we got dead kids once again, and you guys want to blame everything else except for the most obvious thing of what it is, and it is the gun, okay? If we could pass a law saying no more AK-47s, ban AK-47s, we can keep your guns, you can keep your .38 specials, you can keep your 9mm, you can keep your Glocks, whatever. But assault rifles, we do not need assault rifles on American streets. We do not need that. It makes no sense. I'm done.
All right, Michael, just a question. You know, this is a family show, so we want to watch our language, what we're saying, because we want everybody to listen and make sure that we are, you know, presented as a family affair and men who are, you know, doing it. But okay, Spencer.
Once again, I sincerely apologize for my language, but like, we're talking about dead kids here, and these guys want to play games with it. So please forgive me for my language, but we're talking about children.
Yes, but we can talk about it in good language. Spencer, what are your thoughts now?
By that.
You can't hear him.
You can't hear him.
Is this better?
Yes, a lot better.
Okay. I think everybody has a point, and I think the issue starts with I would agree to, I'm not saying banning the assault rifles, but maybe up in the age or maybe from like 18 to let's say 25, and I say that because I think they're even rent a car. You need to be 25 to rent a car. So why don't you have to be 25 to get an assault rifle? You know, show that you could be safe with a gun, period. Let's say you get a handgun at the age of 18, then show that you could be safe with a gun and go through all that. And then at 25, you're eligible to get an assault rifle. So we could start there. And we could also start with banning certain type of assault rifles, you know, especially fully automatics, you know, and all this other stuff. And that's where I would start with, if it was just me personally, would be to raise the age limit to obtain these styles of weapons. And just go from there. Because I understand what Michael was saying. Like, if he went in there with just a handgun, I don't think he could have killed as many kids as he did at 18 if he would have went, like, had one in there with a soft-style rifle. So I think there's pros and cons to this, but I think that's where I would start. I'm not all for banning guns, but maybe banning certain type of assault rifles and even certain type of ammo and vests and all that that you could purchase now at an early age. Maybe raise the age limit, and we could just see how that goes.
All right. What I really would like to get to is we are the man's voice, and we are talking to the world, and men are listening, and we've done a lot of conversation on who should have guns and who shouldn't have guns. My original question was, how do we as men, fathers, supporters of our families, what do we do? How do we tell our kids now? Is it possible to, should we sit down now and have these different conversations with our kids? Do we tell them, you know, when things like this happen, to, you know, what should we be telling them? I know, Don, you have grandkids in the area. They go to school. What do you think we should be doing?
We should tell them simple. Hey, David, simple. Heart condition. Thou should not kill. You should not kill your brother. I mean.
Okay. Wait. No. This question is for kids that are elementary school, etc. You know, because
okay.
The kids in elementary school aren't thinking about going out shooting and killing their friends. But this is where, you know, gun control can help if they understood. I think a lot of kids could have maybe have been saved if they had, you know, understood what to do that day. One kid was dialing 911, but do you want your kids to dial 911, get under their desk? What would you tell them?
Well, David, you know, I remember the days when we had to get up under the desk for a hurricane.
Right. Uh-huh.
Whenever they were hurricane training, get up under the desk and learn. It was a drill. But now, get up under the desk because you might get shot. I mean, children today are afraid. I heard some kids say, man, am I going to get shot if I go to school? A kid should never say that. I have never heard a kid say that up until now. And then, David, I'm going to take it another step further. Those pansies, those do-nothing people that sat back and let him run rapid for almost an hour before going in to do something about it, they should be dealt with. They had a gun, but they had a heart condition too. They were chickens.
Right. All right. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't have any kids, but if I did, I think I would tell them to play dead. You know, unfortunately, like Don said, you know, it's pathetic that kids nowadays are going to school and thinking they might be shot dead, you know, and I've heard that in the news. I know a lot of kids are thinking that, and, you know, it's just mind-boggling to me that you go to school and you think you're going to be shot. But, you know, there's nothing you can do against an AK-47 or an AR-15 except throw yourself on the floor, act like you're dead, and pray to God that you're not shot.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts on this subject?
Sorry. First you gotta tell your kids to always be aware of their surroundings. Keep your head on the swivel. If you see someone that doesn't look right, he's not talking right, he's not acting right, say something and keep your eye on them. You know, the old saying, see something, say something. So that's the first thing I think that I would tell my kids and my grandkids especially, but always be aware of your surroundings. Never get too comfortable, and don't take threats lightly. If you see someone that's being bullied or if you see someone that's making threats, you need to report that or you need to talk to that person, and maybe you can head something like that off. Also, I cover my children. I know Michael don't want to hear this, but I pray over my kids, my grandkids, every day. And I tell them to pray. And so, yeah, Michael, there is a law. And you may think I'm an idiot. I think you call me asinine or whatever. But there is a law that says separation of church and state. But separation of church and state does not mean it prevents me personally or my children from practicing their beliefs. Separation of church and state just simply says that the state shall not mandate. And that's where you liberals get it wrong. So even I talked to a guy who was an atheist. Even an atheist told me, he said, I don't believe in God, but I sure don't want to live in a society where no one believes in God. And that's all I'm saying. If you got a godless society, you got room for stuff like this to happen. And the NRA, I'm sorry, Dave, the NRA, I'm not a member of the NRA, but the NRA is an organization made up of people, of citizens, who believe in legal gun ownership, safe, responsible gun ownership. They train and teach people of proper use of guns, and you want to demonize the largest force that teaches responsible gun ownership. That's crazy. That's like somebody crashes their car into another car and commits vehicular homicide, and you say, oh, we got to get rid of the AAA. The NRA does not promote gun violence, guys. That's crazy talk.
All right. So, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on this subject?
Repeat your question again, David.
There you go. What are your thoughts on how to, as a man right now and your families, what position should a man take with his family on training or talking to his kids, or should he do that at all about how to protect himself in case of a situation like this?
That's a good question. I think there's a little time needed, but it just really depends if you have a son or a daughter. That matters to me because I would teach each differ.
Okay, I got to jump in. Why would you train males and females different on being protective?
Because just the heroism that might be in my son, it could be in my daughter too, but you usually don't want to put your daughter in those situations, I would say. So you might tell your son to just run out and go tell the cop at the entrance of the school, but you might tell your daughter to hide under the desk or something like that, for example. You know? Do you understand? You understand that kind of?
I do, but I also understand if a guy with a gun in the classroom sees a kid trying to run out the door, he's the first one going to be gone.
I didn't say I didn't want that to be that's not a great example, but I was just giving an example of the difference between what would I tell my son to do versus my daughter. So maybe a little heroism in him, or maybe a little I wouldn't say testosterone. He's too young for that, but you know, boys tend to do a little bit more physically, or it might be a little bit more athletic to do something versus my daughter. That's just how I'm thinking about it.
One of the things you keep in mind is that the Uvalde shooting of the kids that were killed, there were twice as many females as males.
Wow. I would the first thing coming to my mind is just like women, probably the kids, the little girls are a little bit more hysterical and making more noise, so it kind of aggravated the shooter. That's what I would think first offhand. I don't think he purposely did that. It was just probably the situation play out with being annoyed by the noise the girls were making while he was orchestrating his acts of horror.
Okay.
Can I reinforce something you just said, Jeremiah?
Yeah, go ahead.
I heard just the other day, yesterday I think it was, that a young girl that either was told by her parents, prayed over by her parents, I agree with that, or told by her teacher in changing times now, this little girl had enough sense where, as traumatic as she was, she saw that her good girlfriend next to her had passed away or looked apparently dead, took blood off of her, put it on her face, laid down and pretended she was dead, and this little girl strongly feels that saved her life. So that just put chills down my spine that, one, she was smart enough to know and to do that, and two, that she had to. So your idea of, like you said, different kids, the only thing I would change is it may not be son or daughter, it may be individual children and how they grasp all this. That's all.
Right.
Hey, David,
yeah.
Can I
yeah.
interject something at this
point?
Sure. David, let's look at the person or the spirit, and the reason why I say spirit, because we are all spirits. We have a soul and we live in a body. But let's talk about the spirit that actually did this. Here's a spirit that killed his, or didn't kill, but shot his grandmother first. I mean, first of all, what kind of deranged spirit would say, let me shoot my grandmother? Now, grandmothers are like gateways to God in the earth to me. They are precious. This spirit shot his grandmother and then proceeded to go to a school and do what he did. So, we got a person with a severe heart condition that doesn't care about nothing, nobody and nothing. How do we deal with these kind of people, man?
And Donald, playing to control only the hardware, I think I agree with you, doesn't solve the problem. We have mental and as you say, heart conditions that are causing this youth to do these violent, unpredictable, and now unusual compared to our history in this country. We didn't have this before, and the youngsters are ramping up this extraordinary behavior now, and I think it's a mental and a heart issue, as you said, at the heart of it all.
Does
how
anybody
do we deal
think
with
the
it?
Pandemic
how do,
has anything
we,
to do with this?
How do we deal with this?
Yeah, I think it does, Ron. I think the pandemic stirred up a lot of things, both the what you're alluding to, possibly the disturbing behavior of kids and the isolationism, and also the parents becoming aware of what is and isn't happening in the schools, but that's another subject.
All right. So, Michael, what is your thoughts on this subject?
Well, thanks for calling on me again, David. I actually have elementary age children in my family, and to the question about what do I tell them, I really don't know. That's why I'm so angry and fed up about it, because I should not have to tell them anything. I should just tell them, hey, go to school and get straight A's. That's all I should have to tell them. But the fact
right.
that is what you pointed to, Bruce, about the girl. I heard about the girl that wiped the blood off of her friend's face and on her face. That just broke my heart that a fourth
yeah.
grader has to wipe blood off of her dead friend's body onto her body. That just broke my heart. So
yep.
I don't know. To answer the question, what will I tell them? I don't know. I just want to tell them to go to school and be the best they can be. That's all I want to tell them. But unfortunately, I can't. I have to tell them, be prepared, be on your lookout, run maybe, duck. It's just heartbreaking, David. So I really don't have an answer as to what do you tell a fourth grader about a mass shooter.
All right. Spencer, what are your thoughts on this subject?
Whew, this is a tough one here, you know. My little girl, she don't even know what has went down. You know, we haven't told her anything because we don't want her to be scared. And I agree with Mike, you know, she should just be able just to get up and go to school and just play and just worry about kid life. But this is the reality that we live in. So, you know, I'm just sitting here, you know, talking with my wife about, like, you know, what steps we can take to prepare her, you know, or just hopefully from things that she have, you know, seen in cartoons that she does like this little girl does and just instinctively just put, you know, act dead. You know, I haven't had this talk, and I don't want to, but it might be something that, you know, we need to do, you know, just make sure that she's aware. If you see anything like that, you know, just take cover and do certain things like this, but try not to scare her. So this is something that's new that we'll have to, I'll inform you later on, you know, what we decide, but that's a good question that you asked.
All right. I want to move around the table and ask thoughts. I mean, we've had a lot on this. We've got about 19 minutes left in the show. So let's start with Bruce. What are your comments for the panel this week?
Let me expand a little bit on – I'll take my part to expand a little bit on the subject we've been talking about. And that is, I think it was Darius or maybe someone else as well. Unfortunately – and the concerns I share with you, Michael, that we need to harden our schools. As much as we've never thought of schools as a place of danger, not in the way that it is now, as the point that was made is we protect our politicians, we protect our sports arenas, we protect our government officials and places of value. Well, it's time now to heighten the value of our children way beyond what we used to think was okay and enough. It's not that we don't value our children. We all do. But we have to harden the schools in a way and let the smart ones figure out what that means, but harden them so that people can't get into these establishments as easily as they do. And part of that is police. Part of that is teacher training. Part of that is children training. And that whole package then, when and if this ever happens again, and unfortunately we all know it will, they have a different attitude and they have a better clarity as to what they do in stressful situations. Any one of us on this panel, I'll finish with this, any one of us on this panel, gentlemen, could be in that same stressful situation, and there's a good chance with the older training we have, we may all act differently, and some may survive and some may die. So we have to harden our schools or teach our schools to behave and operate in this environment now.
All right. Soel, what thoughts do you have for the panel this week?
Well, I think that we need to address some things in this country, first being school security. I do agree with the statement that was made earlier about how we do invest all this money to protect politicians. I believe it costs us like $1 million or more in taxpayer money to keep the president safe and members of Congress safe. And we have to address that what happened at that school was unacceptable. First of all, the deputies and their act of cowardice and their blatant disregard for what was happening, the fact that he had half an hour to do that much carnage shows a reflection of that county and the things that they need to address.
All right. That's good. Okay, so Darius, what are your thoughts for the panel this week?
I guess what really struck me this week was when I heard the statistics, and I'll repeat it again about what happened in Chicago the weekend following the kids. And I understand why school shootings are so big in the news, because it strikes at the heart, you know, when you talk about kids. But these are a lot of these are kids too, but they're urban kids. And this nation refuses to address that you can have 50 kids get shot over Memorial Day weekend in the city. And, you know, I guess a little under 20 kids that got shot in the school, and that leads everywhere. And I'm not saying it shouldn't lead, it should, but no, it's not even a mention.
about the other kids in the urban cities that got shot by drug dealers and gang members. And I just want to, I don't understand why we refuse to ignore the violence that's going on in the inner city, especially among blacks. We choose to ignore that, and we focus on changing laws and creating even more laws when we have those laws and those kids are still being killed, and nobody's talking about it. Also, I wanted to say something, too, to Michael. Like, those kids would have gotten killed even if he had a 9mm or if he had a revolver, because it took the cops 45 minutes before they even breached the classroom. So it had nothing to do with what kind of weapon he had. But that's what's on my mind, and I just like to hear someone's thoughts on why we're ignoring what's the violence that's going on in the inner cities every day.
Anyone want to take that on?
Oh, I'll gladly take that on mine. Okay, well, yeah, since he invoked my name, I'll take that on. Okay, Darius, yes, I do agree that there is horrible violence in the African-American community, the urban community, and it does need to be addressed. It needs to be talked about. But let's start that conversation from the beginning. You Republicans like to just start the conversation from the middle of the book. Let's start the book from the beginning. How did those black people in that community get in that position? It was because of years of redlining, which created ghettos that pushed all the black people into one corner and gave them no resources. And without no resources, yes, they start attacking and eating themselves. Okay, let's discuss that issue and the poverty issue and the years of systemic racism that's causing that. Okay, you Republicans, all you want to do is focus on, okay, they're killing each other, let's lock them up. They're killing each other, let's lock them up. Well, maybe if we had better education in the black community, maybe if we had better programming, more funding, better books, blah, 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 maybe they wouldn't be killing each other and fighting and doing all that. So let's, like I always say, Darius, let's start the conversation from the beginning. I love to have that conversation about the carnage in the black community because it does exist, and I wish it would stop. But let's start it from the beginning as to how we're going to fix the problem, okay?
I'd like to make a comment, and let's go back to Buffalo. Buffalo was pushed under the rug with the carnage of the killing of the kids. Here is a black community with only one grocery store in that black community, and a deranged man, a deranged spirit, drove miles to that grocery store that was the only one in the neighborhood and killed a group of people that happened to be of color. That was ridiculous. And now we got this killing. We had Parkland killing. We had so many mass killings. This has got to stop. It's got to stop. We got to have a plan to get this to stop. I don't know what the plan is. We need to make this top priority.
All right.
Could I add one thing to what Don said?
Sure.
Don, the only thing I would add to that, you can agree or not, I think you would, is it doesn't matter if it's a non-black person coming to that store and killing a bunch of African Americans, or the total reverse, a black man coming to a white store, killing a bunch of white or non-black Americans. It's people being killed, and it should not matter, and it should not be any less of a value whether they're black, white, pink, green, or some other color. It's we just got to stop tagging everything to race, and if we do, maybe we'll start thinking these more in the terms of being an American or a youth or an older person versus their skin color. And because all that has gotten us is into more and more separation, and we don't need that, especially now.
All right.
Okay, Bruce, I'm going to disagree with you there just a little bit, my man. We got to call out white supremacy. reality when we see it, okay? That guy in Buffalo, New York, he was a white supremacist who hated black people. He went there with the intentions to kill those black people. He was not mentally retarded. So, no, we have to address it. Anytime it's white supremacy and racially motivated, we have to address it. We can't just sweep it under the rug and kind of throw it in the barrel with all the other ones, because then we'll never fix the problem. So I disagree with that one, Bruce. We have to address white supremacy or any sort of oppression of any race anytime
we... There you go. Any kind of supremacy. Absolutely.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, Michael. I'm so proud to hear you say that, because, you know, I think if you lost a loved one, you don't care if the killer was white, black, Hispanic, or whatever. You know, that guy who shot those kids, he was Hispanic, and the majority of the kids he shot was Hispanic. The guy who went in the subway, he was a black guy looking to shoot white people. You know, when you lose a loved one, you don't care what the reason is, and you don't care what the skin color is of the killer. You know, you've just suffered a great loss, and that's all that you're concerned about at that point.
The deranged spirit.
And I think we all agree on that.
Michael, what do you have for the panelists this week?
Okay, thanks, David. I have two things. First, I want to jump on Bruce real quick. Last time we spoke was a week and a half ago, week before last. Bruce, you asked us about why aren't we paying attention to the case with Hillary's lawyer and the Durham case, and you kept saying, why aren't you guys paying attention to that? Well, the guy was acquitted, okay? He got off, so that's, you got egg in your face on that one, Bruce. You wanted everybody to pay attention like it was a smoking gun, and the guy was acquitted, okay? So
can
I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the January 6th committee and the Donald Trump situation, because starting next week, we're going to have live televised versions of what happened with January the 6th. And another one of Donald Trump's right-hand men, one of his boys, just got indicted. They got him at the airport and took him to jail. So that's, to this date, that's 37 Donald Trump homies that have gotten indicted. So it's getting closer, and I say it all the time, 37 indictments under the Republicans, zero indictments under the Democrats. So I want to throw this around to you guys. Darius, I'll start with you. What do you think about that?
Before you do that, Michael, as in your way, let me respond to what you said.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead.
Yes, there was he got off, but also you didn't mention the composition of the committee and the authorities that let him off. And if you research that, there would be no wonder why he wasn't indicted on anything. And as far as Trump with his indictments, as you and I have discussed in various modes of IT this week, but the only thing, I'm not saying something should go unpunished if it's wrong, but the only thing the Democrats have is to talk about Trump, because they got nothing on the positive side of making solutions and presenting them and implementing them. That's why we're in the mess we're in now.
Okay, please go ahead. But real quick, Bruce, why is it that whenever the Republicans are in trouble and under the gun, you want to talk about something else? Go ahead, Darius.
I was with Bruce a couple weeks ago, too, talking about how we should talk about that indictment. And what I will say, Michael, is not the indictment, but the trial. Sussman got off, but he was not innocent. The juror even said that, yeah, he lied to the FBI, but they didn't think it was a lie that was worthy of a conviction. And this is the same thing that the Democrats do. This is a trick you guys play. This is what they did with Hillary Clinton. Like, oh, yeah, when Comey came out. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt that she obstructed justice. There was no doubt that she destroyed laptops and took hammers to Blackberries. But no reasonable prosecutor would really, you know, prosecute her for this. This is what liberals get away with. And this is why you guys are going to lose so bad, because the American public sees this double treatment. Howard Sussman was guilty as all get out. Nobody's even debating that this guy was innocent. But what came out of that trial is going to come back to bite the liberals later, I think, because it came out that Hillary Clinton knew that this whole Russia thing was a hoax, that she green-lighted it, that they fed it to the FBI, and the FBI knowingly and willingly got an illegal FISA warrant to spy on Donald Trump. So I want to hear you say, Michael, since you want to talk about what happened, you should admit that Russia was a hoax,
that Donald Trump was attempting to set up Donald Trump and spy on his campaign and make him look like he was in collusion with Russia when no such thing ever happened. And that's what came out in the trial. So if you want to talk about it, let's go ahead and talk about it, brother. Let me hear you say it.
Okay, what I will say is, why is it that every time the Republicans get found guilty, the criminal justice system got it wrong? Why is that? But whenever a Democrat is found guilty, the criminal justice system got it right. That is so hypocritical of you guys. Don't you agree?
None of them got found guilty, Michael. You just said zero indictments, so it's nothing to talk about. I'm asking you. You said you brought it up. So we know he was found not guilty, but what came out in the trial was that they faked the Russia hoax. They set up Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton green-lighted it. They paid for it. You know this happened in the trial, so what do you have to say about that since you want to talk about the trial? Are you ready now, willing to say that Donald Trump did not collude with Russia?
Absolutely not. Donald Trump hasn't had his trial yet. If Donald Trump has a trial and he's acquitted, I will say that. But until then, no, I'm not going to say that.
3 years of investigations, Michael. What are you talking about? 3 years. And it just came out in this trial that it was a hoax. The FBI said it was a hoax. Sussman said it was a hoax. Hillary's campaign manager said it was a hoax. Why can't you say it? I guess you got to be on the court a lot. You got to be under oath, too, before you will admit that.
Yeah. Silence.
All right, guys. Let's move on. Ron, what do you want to bring to the table?
I just want to expand on something that Bruce said about hardening the schools, and I think Darius and maybe somebody else said it. And I'm not in total disagreement with that, but I don't think that's the total answer, because then what are we going to do in the grocery stores, and what are we going to do in the places of worship? I'm always the pessimist, I guess, but I think because we already have all these guns out there, I think we're past the point of no return in this country, and I don't think really there's much that we can do about the violence and the mass shootings that we're having. I mean, I hate to say that, but I think that's the reality of things, the way I see it.
But, Ron, can I ask you one quick question? If,
sure, Bruce.
If a substantial disappearance or elimination of guns occurred tomorrow, do you really think a lot of what's going on would stop? All this stuff? They're going to find other ways to do things that we feel are sick and perverted and destructive.
If we got the semi-automatic weapons off of all the criminals and away from all the law-abiding people, then I think all these mass shootings definitely would stop. But
that's
impossible.
An impossibility. You'll never get them away from all the criminals. You know that.
Exactly.
Never.
So we're past the point of no return. There's nothing
agree.
We can do about this problem. Nothing.
All right, gentlemen, we have about 2 minutes left. Let's go around. I think I got everybody. Spencer, what do you want to bring to the table?
I want to bring
Pardon?
Deciding that my Heat has lost in the playoffs and wasn't able to attend the finals. I know everybody wanted us to go and win and do all that, and I'm sorry that our team let y'all down. That's all I have to say.
Who was that again? Say it again.
Oh, I was saying I know everybody wanted to see the Heat go to the finals and win the championship this year, but on behalf of the Miami Heat fan club, I'm sorry that we let y'all down.
Okay, if that's the way you want to put it out there, okay. Well, you've been listening to The Man's Voice, and it's been a very good show. We're here every Sunday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can call us in and talk to us, 646-668-8740. There were a couple of people online today, but there was so much going on, we didn't get a chance to get in, but we will in the future. So once again, gentlemen, have a great week.
God bless all my brothers, and be safe out there this week.
Watch 60 Minutes, CBS.
How about that, you guys? Miami's coming back for you guys. Be careful.
Go Tampa Lightning and the Hockeys.
The thing you didn't say Wolverine.
That's right. And the Panthers.
No, not Wolverine.